You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. All right. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 1. As we look at the coming king, and then we'll transition first a year to following the king. And so today we're looking at the message title, When God Steps In and Changes Everything. When God steps in and changes everything. In Matthew, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25, but with me for a second, try with me to put yourself in Joseph and Mary's shoes. Just for a second, if you have any kind of imagination, you know, try to put yourself in their shoes as God steps into their lives and changes everything. Joseph and Mary are soon to be married. They are now engaged. Both are waiting till their wedding day to give themselves to each other. The anticipation of that wedding day was growing as plans and dreams of what it would look like begin to emerge. But then their plans were cut short. Their engagement now stands in question, and their future has been radically changed forever. Maybe you can relate. When God steps in and changes your plans for your life, will you run for fear or step forward in faith? Because your response matters. What we do matters. We must trust God and know what He's doing even when we can't comprehend it. We must trust God. We must trust God knows what He's doing even when we can't comprehend it. Even when we can't comprehend it. You know, I'm sure as God stepped into Mary and Joseph's life and told them, it just didn't make sense. It was uncomprehendable. And I think it's important for us to understand that God sees the beginning from the end. We don't. See, God sees the end result where we just see the beginning. We must also trust what God does is for our benefit, whether we understand it at that moment or not. When God steps in and changes our plans, sometimes we're like, man, what good could possibly come forward from this? See, God was trying to, and I want you to think about this. God stepped in to change their plans because God was trying to bring Jesus into their life. Literally. Literally. We must trust God has chosen to glorify Himself through our lives by the events He has allowed to come into our lives. You know, first and foremost is to God be the glory. That's where our lives are supposed to reflect. It's supposed to reflect His glory. You and I, when those things happen in our lives, you and I have the opportunity to bring glory and praise to God. And so as we look at this today, you know, really there's that one question I want you to think about. When God steps in and changes your plans for your life, will you run in fear or step forward in faith? Let's pray. Lord, I love You and I thank You for today. I thank You for this very real truth, Lord, of Joseph and Mary and how You stepped into their lives. And yes, for the ultimate good of them and all of mankind. But in the moment, Lord, just seeing what Joseph wrestled through and just trying to understand everything, Lord God, I just pray that You would help us to trust You and, Lord, that You would open Your word up to us. And Lord, may Your Holy Spirit meet with us here accompanied by Your word, Lord, to challenge and convict us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So first, if you're taking notes and you want to write it down, Mary had to tell Joseph the impossible but true reality of her situation. Now think about that. Mary had to tell Joseph the impossible but true reality of her situation. Look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, okay, so they're they're abstaining, they're doing things God's way, awaiting till that marriage covenant to engage in that physical relationship. And so Mary was the spouse of Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Are you still putting yourself in Joseph's and Mary's shoes? Say what? What did you just tell me? You know, having to go, understanding this is very unique. This is a once in a lifetime thing that God chose to do through Mary. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a second, as I can imagine her contemplating the what ifs. I know some people that live in the what ifs. You know what I'm talking about? What if this happens? What if that happens? Think with me for a second about Mary having to go and tell Joseph the reality of what has happened. Can you imagine? What if Joseph doesn't believe me? Which, by the way, he didn't. The scriptures tell us he was getting ready to leave her until the Lord stepped in. Okay? The what if Joseph doesn't believe me? The what if he leaves me? Or what if the town makes me an outcast? Or what if they, even worse, stone me, as would be for the law? What if no one believes he's the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Can you imagine all the things, the what ifs that are running through her mind? What if, now you can fill in the blanks. What if I lose my job? What if this happens? What if this circumstances? What if the doctor's report comes back? The what ifs. I could see her wrestling through this as God steps into our lives and calls us to trust Him in crazy ways. We are going to have to silence the what ifs that come into our mind and to our heart. Our voices in our head sometimes saying one thing while God's word is saying another. We always listen to God's word, but then notice how she just had to embrace the change of plans. She had to embrace him. You know, it's funny because in life she could choose to embrace God's plan or reject God's plan, but either way, God's plan was happening in 9 months. You know what I'm saying? In our lives, sometimes we pick and choose, but God will always have his way. It makes me think about Jonah. You know, God was like, hey, Jonah, I want you to go here and I want you to go do this. He's like, not happening. He's like, okay, we'll see about that. God has his way. And sometimes, you know, we are found fighting against God's will when he steps into our lives and changes our plan, when instead we need to embrace the changes that he brings into our lives. Mary, contemplating the what ifs, you know, embracing this new plan for her life, you know, just so different as she's going and telling Joseph, and obviously the struggle there. But then we see, number two, Joseph had to decide whether he would believe God's word in faith or walk away in fear and unbelief. He had a choice to make when Mary is coming to him, telling him, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done to me. Notice his doubt and disappointment that he faced. Look at verse number 19. So Mary, at some point in time, comes to him and tells him, hey, Joseph, you're not going to believe it. You're right. You know, it's going to be a hard one. But this is what the Lord's done to me. Look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This verse sums up where he's at. He's in a mode of doubt and disappointment. He's like, I cannot believe the news that I'm hearing. I cannot believe it. As he, you know, contemplates and thinks on what is now the reality before him, we see here Joseph is ready to call off the engagement, struggling to believe Mary's words to him. Heartbroken and confused, he sets out to put her away privately, not to shame her, because he still loved her. He couldn't understand what was happening, But he knew that, hey, if you're pregnant, something's happened. But he didn't take into account God, right? It's that one in a lifetime, right? That one in a lifetime. There is not a repeat of this, okay? But for Joseph, trying to take in that news, trying to wrestle with that, he had came to the place where basically he is going to just say, listen, I can't stay in this relationship. This is too hard for me to fathom, to believe. Can you feel his doubt and disappointment as his world has been turned upside down by the news that he got? Maybe you can relate. The doctor's report, it's cancer. The relationship, it's broken. It's off. You were let go at your dream job. That child you wanted had been born, is born with a disability. The loved one you just suddenly lost died. Can you maybe relate? His doubt and disappointments were real, but God was working through them. He just couldn't see it yet. Remember, God sees the beginning from the end. He knows the beginning and the end. When the unexpected happens, you have to trust God is at work, even though you can't see what work he is doing. You have to trust when you can't see what work he is doing. We see his doubts and his disappointment. But then notice this dream that he had. Notice this dream that he had. Look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, obviously, man, the thoughts are rich in his mind. He's thinking over and over again. And while he's thinking and contemplating his path moving forward, he is thinking about all that's happened. And I am sure the voices in his head are running wild. Presumably, the wrong voices started creeping in. And this is when that messenger shows up. Look at it, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, what things? Probably leaving, walking away. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And here's this messenger, and here's this message for Joseph saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Remember how I told you that last week we're talking about Jesus is of the lineage of David, that king is coming. Joseph would have known this. And I like how the angel of the Lord addresses Joseph as Joseph, thou son of David. Joseph, thou son of David. Hey, you're in the line of a king. Fear not. Hey, I know you're afraid right now. I know your world's upside down right now. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hey, what she's told you is true. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's interesting that the angel said, hey, Joseph, you will call his name Jesus. In that time, the fathers would pronounce the name of their firstborn. If we look back at Elizabeth and Zacharias, it was Zacharias when Elizabeth said his name's going to be John because he couldn't speak. They were like, man, give me the writing pad. Let's go over here. What does John say? No, it's going to, or what does Zacharias say? It's going to be John, right? After what God said. For Joseph, it was an angel who brought that hope-filled message. I want you to think about that. You know, that angel that brought that hope-filled message from God. However, for others, it might be a friend, a spouse, a coworker, a pastor, or even a brother and sister in Christ who brings a message of encouragement during a difficult or an uncertain time in our lives. And praise the Lord for that. I love how God knew where Joseph was at. God sent that messenger to Joseph to convey his word to him. However, the most encouraging message ever given to anyone was given to Joseph that day. And I want you to think about it. Verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And you, Joseph, you are going to call his name Jesus. The long-awaited Messiah. Jesus, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is our salvation. For he shall save his people from their sin. The most encouraging messages that you and I will ever hear in our lives are the ones from God's word. He didn't just have the encouragement of an angel. He had the truth of God's word. We see his disappointment and his doubt, but then we see this dream with this messenger and this message. But now we see a prophet, prophets and their words. Look at verse number 22. Now all this was done. Now, this is Matthew conveying God's word, causing us to look back. The angel did not say this to him, but he would have had the same prophet's words. Joseph would have knew these words when it says, now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, it is God with us. This point points us right back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. See, Joseph would have had these scriptures available to him. Joseph would have understood that there was going to come a king, an everlasting king. And I wonder if he's wrestling through God's word. I wonder if he's contemplating and saying, yeah, but is it really Mary? Is she going to be the one? Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Whether or not Joseph knew what God's word said did not change the reality of its truth. Whether or not he knew what Isaiah 7:14 said did not change the reality of the truth that God said back then, hundreds of years before, hey, a virgin is going to give birth. Hey, this is my sign. It's going to come. That child is going to come forth from the lineage of David. Hey, this is that reality. What God says always happens whether you believe it or not. God's word isn't contingent upon your belief to happen. See, it was told years and years before, hey, a virgin is going to come. This is my sign. It didn't matter whether people believe or not. It doesn't matter whether people believe now or not. Hey, whether we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is no effect of whether or not it truly happened. Whether a person believes that the Lord is going to come back, and save us and take us with him to glory, it doesn't change the truth that it will happen. God's word always happens. You know, I think about Joseph here and these voices that are going back as he's contemplating on these things. You know, a question that I have for you is, what voice will you listen to as he's contemplating on these things? As he's preparing his plans to step out, to step away, Joseph struggled, like we all do, with the voices in our head telling us something different than what God's word tells us. The voice in his head was saying, pack up and go, but the voice of God's word was saying, settle in and stay. He was ready to go. God was saying, no, you need to stay. We must always listen to the voice of God's written word over the voices in our head telling us something different than God's word. I think about how many times, and I know we all struggle with it. I don't need a raise of hand. I don't need somebody to testify to say, hey, do you have voices in your head that cause you to doubt or to think differently than what we ought to? How those thoughts get in there and where they come from, I don't know. But I know they're there in my life, and I know they're in other people's lives, and I know Joseph dealt with that himself. As he sought on those things, as he prepared to walk away, we must always listen to the voice of God over the voices in our head. Our decisions reflect our belief. You know, it boils down to, does Joseph truly believe in God? Does he believe in what God says? Does he believe in his word? Because at the core, our decisions reflect our belief. Joseph is at the crossroads many Christians will come to in their life. When God steps in and changes your plan for your life, will you run in fear or step out in faith? Joseph has a decision to make. Now, it's easy for us to say because we know the end of the story. Oh, we know, you know, we already know. It's easy for us to say, but when that difficult time comes in, that the time where your life is turned upside down, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a terrible way or in a bad way, but will we run in fear or will we step forward in faith? Notice his decision. Look at verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. You know what he did? He said, I can't understand how God's doing this. I can't even, sometimes you try to figure God out and it just makes our brain hurt. Like, how's God going to fix this one? I don't know. How's God going to make this virgin have a child? But he does. God, he does things that we just can't fathom. We just need to trust him. We need to obey him. He chooses, Joseph chooses to step forward in faith than to run away in fear. What will you do? When life doesn't go as planned, trust God and let him work out in your life for your good and for his glory, the plans that he has for you. We all know Romans 8:28, right? All things, say it with me if you know it. All things work together for good. See, you know it. Yeah, keep going, come on. Called according to his purpose. We know it. But man, when we're in it, it sure is hard to say, I know God's working something wonderful for our benefit and for his glory in this moment. You know, there's a story of a fellow in this church just told to me just recently. It just, man, warmed my heart, but it really just showed me God at work. He has cancer. He's had over 20-some chemo treatments. And a couple weeks ago, he pulled me up and he said, you know, Pastor, I've never been able to say this before, but I'm really thankful that I have cancer, that I had this cancer. And I said, go on. He said, because I always thought I was a pretty good guy until I came to hear the word of God. He started coming here. Somebody invited him. He started hearing the word of God, and he said, I realized, this is what he's telling me. I'm not good enough. Then he goes on to say, if I hadn't got cancer, I might not know Jesus. And I'm like, there it is. There it is. See, we struggle to grasp it. It's like, we'll shake our fists at God. God, why are you allowing me to have this? Because at the core, God wants to bring Jesus into our lives. And he wants to bring himself glory. You know, praise the Lord, because if we have health all of our days and no problems, but if we know not Jesus, then it's all for naught. You know, what are you going to do? We understand that God works those things together for our good and for his glory. What we do reflects what we believe. Joseph is acting on what he believes. He believes God's word. And Joseph believed in the Lord. We know this. We know this because we see it in number three. And basically, it's the marks of Joseph's faith in action. The marks of Joseph's faith in actions. You know, he trusted the Lord and followed his plans. You know, when God steps in and changes everything, you have a choice to trust the Lord and to follow his plan. Look at verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his what? His wife. He went through, hey, with God's plan. Some might say, I don't know what God's plan is for my life. I hear a lot of people say that sometimes. You know, every single one of us have God's plans right here in our hands. And you say, well, not really. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry, and I don't know this. Here's the problem. We want to know all the stuff that isn't revealed, but we're not simply willing to follow the stuff that is revealed. We want to know God's will and this and that, but we're not willing to seek the Lord and love Him with all of our heart. He becomes a Sunday morning afterthought throughout the week, and then we go live our lives Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I'll think about Jesus Sunday morning. We'll pick up the Bible on Sunday morning, but yet God says, hey, I have my will for you right here. And we want to know those that will that's not so clear. And He's like, why would I tell you that when you're not willing to do with the revealed will that I've given to you? The Lord had bidden him. He obeyed. We hold the key in our hand to know God's will. It can be hard when God steps in to our lives and changes our plans. But if we truly believe the Lord, if you truly believe the Lord, when God steps in and changes, man, radically or something happens in your life and He steps in and we truly say we believe the Lord and we desire to follow His plan, then it will result in us just doing just that, trusting Him and following His plan. I know many people, and listen, this church would be packed, slammed full, probably 10 services, if everybody that's came through the last 5 years through the doors of this church were still here. And I say that wholeheartedly. I'm talking 10 services with what we have right now. Absolutely. With all the people. But what happens? Life doesn't go the way we think it should. Sickness comes in, relations come in, or we're seeking to, as this next part would talk about, try to make, you know, work it out in our own way and in our own flesh when it doesn't work out the way that we think it should. And so the marks of Joseph's faith in action, he trusted the Lord, followed His plan, but then he showed restraint. And I thought this was interesting, never saw this before, but he showed restraint and patience as he waited on God. You know, one of the hardest things to do when life does not go as planned is to try to make matters into our own hands, or try to take matters into our own hands. You ever done that? Life doesn't go the way, job doesn't go the way, so you try to take matters into your own hands. That's one of the things that we can tend to do. We look back in Scripture, we see this happen. Abraham, right? God said, this is what's going to happen. What did he do? He took matters into his own hands and he made a mess of it. One of the hardest things to do in life is when things do not go as planned is to wait, right? Wait instead of taking matters into our own hands. And the last thing we want to do is be patient. Does anybody in here like being patient? I think about this. I've never met somebody who says, you know what? I really like being patient. I've never once heard somebody say, I like it. I've heard people say, maybe I'm good at it. Maybe you just need to be still and wait. You know, I get it, but I've never once heard somebody say, yeah, I love being patient with people. I love waiting for them to mature spiritually. I love waiting for my kids to say thank you. I love waiting for my food. But that's not the case. And in the moments when, man, our life is upside down, our world is upside down, man, that last thing we want to do is be patient and not to try to figure things out on our own. But Joseph demonstrates both of these characteristics as he followed after the Lord. Look at verse number 25. Notice the phrase, and he knew her not. That meant his wife that he just married, he would not have that physical sexual relationship with his wife for over 9 months, or probably a year, as he was willing to demonstrate patience and restraint on his own part until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. See, Joseph learned restraint as he waited on God. Joseph learned restraint as he waited on God's promise to be fulfilled. He went a year before he knew his wife after they got married. You know, when God stepped into Joseph's life and changed everything, he chose to step forward in faith, not to turn back in fear and unbelief. You know, the question is, what will you do? What will you do? When life gets turned upside down, when things don't work out as the way that you think they should, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust the Lord Are you going to move forward? Are you going to get angry at God and turn your back? I hope that we can make the same choice as Mary and Joseph to trust the Lord, even though we can't see what's happening in the moment. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, my wife's going to come and she's going to sit at the piano for a minute, but it's a shorter message today, but very important, very impactful. There's so much in here because Joseph and Mary were real people who experienced real change in their life. Their life didn't go as the way they planned. Maybe you're in here today and something's come into your life and this was not what you planned for. Maybe your marriage wasn't what you thought it would be. Maybe your job isn't what you thought it would be. Maybe the Christian faith or your walk isn't what you thought it should be. What are you going to do? See, you can either embrace God's plan for your life or you can choose to reject it. Either way, it will happen. You can yield to the Lord, or you can be found like Paul when he said, the Lord says to him, why are you fighting against me? Why do you keep kicking at me? Will you embrace God's will? Will you reject his plan? Or will you embrace it? Follow through with it? Are you somebody who maybe lets the what ifs take control of your mind? What if I get sick? What if I don't have enough money? What if this relationship doesn't work? What if? You know, the ifs are really, really scary thing you got to watch out for. We need to believe God's word. Do you have that doubting spirit? You need to silence those what ifs with the word of God. Will you step forward in faith, or will you turn back in fear? Will you be here 5 years from now? That's the question. I don't like the decisions. Join the club. God's in control. But maybe for someone here today, it's trusting Jesus as your Savior. You can't forget why He came. He came to save His people from their sins. Is there somebody in here who's that blot of sin is still covering you? Maybe you're trusting in the wrong thing. Hey, He loves you. He wants to save you. If you've not put your faith in the Lord, hey, let today be the day. We know Joseph believed in the Lord. Even though he didn't see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was saved the same way Abraham was. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Our belief, our actions show what we believe in. Do your actions back up what you say, that you believe in the Lord? I don't know how God spoke to your heart today, but let's pray it in as the worship team comes. Father, I come to you today, Lord God, and I just thank you for, Lord, your word. And just as we look at the amazing truths of Scripture and how you choose to do things, Lord God, they're completely amazing. They're completely uncomprehendable at the same time. Lord God, and you are working out all things, Lord, for our good and to your glory. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to trust you, to follow after you, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Lord, not to let the voice of doubt invade our minds, but to cling to the word of God, to cling to your truth. Lord God, help us to be a people that step forward in faith, not backwards in fear. Lord God, I ask and pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.